Listener, here is the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Minister Fadlizon hopes more Indonesian intangible cultural heritage will be registered with UNESCO. Ministry of Religious Affairs states mosques should be centers for education and environmental action. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Culture Fadlizon hopes to see more of Indonesia's intangible cultural heritage listed by UNESCO. After attending the inauguration of the new officials at the Ministry of Culture in Jakarta on Wednesday, he shared that the Indonesian government is working hard to have more of the country's cultural treasure recognized by UNESCO as intangible cultural heritage.
Kita akan segera membentuk tim untuk intangible cultural heritage.
We will soon form a team for the intangible cultural heritage at UNESCO. The team will be responsible for preparing the necessary documents, since there's a lot of work involved in filing out, reviewing the items, and so on. According to Minister Fadlizon, the government has already gathered a lot of data on the cultural heritage items that will be proposed for the recognition. Some have been submitted for a long time, while others have a newly proposed. However, all of them must first go through a review process.
Ada juga yang akan kita coba melakukan representative list.
We also try to create a representative list and an extension list with other countries. We are aiming to register more cultural heritage items as soon as possible. Minister Fadlizon also mentioned that there are a few cultural heritage items that will be fast-tracked for submission. The list of these items will be announced once the review process is completed. Still from the Ministry of Culture, the Indonesia's Ministry of Culture is continuing its efforts to bring back valuable artifacts and historical items belonging to the country. Minister of Culture Fadlizon shared this in a media briefing after the inauguration of new officials at the ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also mentioned that Indonesia will be requesting the return of many important artifacts, one of which is the Puchangan inscription.
Kita berharap nanti kunjungan presiden ke India juga.
We hope that during the president's visit to India, he can raise the issue of returning the Puchangan inscription, which is significant for us as it contains the genealogy of King Erlangga.
Tentang Raja-Raja Erlangga.
In addition to pushing for the return of the Puchangan inscription from India, Minister Fadlizon is also encouraging ongoing discussions with other countries about repatriating Indonesia's valuable artifacts.
Dengan Belanda kita akan memperbarui atau menambah MOU kita. Dengan Inggris kita akan bicara.
We plan to update or expand our MOU with the Netherlands, discuss options with the UK, and begin studies with Germany. But what's most important is that we are ready to receive these repatriated items. So far, around 100 valuable artifacts have been successfully returned to Indonesia and are currently being studied and identified by experts. Akmal Salim Ruhana, head of the Mosque Subdirectorate at the Ministry of Religious Affairs, highlighted the crucial role of religion in addressing climate change and environmental issues, particularly within mosques and religious communities in their country. He also said that religion is somehow the key in shaping policies that promote environmental sustainability, both directly and indirectly. Every year we send important messages to mosques across Indonesia, along with tens of billions of rupiahs, urging them to adopt eco-friendly mosques. Akhil Dabingan. Additionally, Akmal further said that the Ministry of Religious Affairs has incorporated environmental values to the guidelines for mosque assistance programs, with the goal of making mosque centers for environmental education and action. While the funding is still limited, Akmal is hopeful that these small steps will spark a larger movement with support from various organizations, including government agencies such as the Research and Development Agency and the National Arms Management Agency. Minister of Defense Syafri Syamsuddin and the head of the National Counterterrorism Agency, Edi Hartono, exchange views on the radicalization programs and other viable strategies for bolstering Indonesia's resilience against terrorism. During the meeting held at his office in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Syamsuddin reminded Hartono of the importance of fostering synergy and cohesiveness among PNPT officials, related agencies, and other institutions. The minister also noted, aside from his office statement released on the same day, considering the complex nature of the challenges the government faces, an integrated and comprehensive approach involving all relevant stakeholders is of the essence. Chief of Indonesian Air Force Air Marshal Muhammad Tony Haryono on Wednesday met Indonesian Defense Minister Syafri Syamsuddin at the Defense Ministry Office in Jakarta, discussing the arrival of Rafale fighter aircraft from France. The Air Force in its press release on Thursday stated that Marshal Tony Haryono also discussed the aviator training program for prospective pilots of the Rafale aircraft. The training program will involve instructors from France. Indonesia is listed as one of the customers of the Rafale fighter aircraft purchased by France. It is noted that the Ministry of Defense has purchased 42 Rafale fighter jets made by Dassault Aviation France after the third phase of the purchase contract for the last 18 units was effective. Indonesia's Ministry of Housing and Settlement projected that the Kemayoran Athletes Village, formerly used for the 2018 Asian Games, will be revitalized into public housing by April 2025. Following its use as accommodation for athletes during the Asian Games, some towers in the complex were repurposed as an emergency field hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic from 2020 until 2022, and the government again decided to convert the sections of the complex into residences for the state apparatus and low-income residents, aiming to use the state assets better. According to Minister Maruwara Sirait, as per the minister's statement on Thursday, the Ministry of State Secretariat is responsible for its future proposed and actions to use the complex. Indonesian Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning Nusron Wahid said that land availability is not the issue for the government's program to develop 3 million houses, as 87,000 hectares of land have been designated for housing development. According to Minister Nusron in Jakarta on Thursday, the government has reported to the related ministries and everything is running smoothly. The Ministry of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning highlighted around 864,000 hectares of potential land available to support food security, transmigration and public housing programs. He also explained that out of the 864,000 hectares of land, 10,000 hectares are additional land acquired from the conversion of land with cultivation rights to land with building rights. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ambassador to Turkey Ahmad Rizal Purnama attended the kickoff ceremony for the 75th anniversary of Indonesia-Turkey diplomatic relations. The event was held at the ambassador's residence in Ankara, Turkey on Tuesday. According to Antara News, the ceremony was attended by key figures and various elements of society from both countries, including Turkey's parliament members, business communities, government officials, academics, and the Indonesia-Turkey Friendship Association. During the event, Ambassador Rizal highlighted the importance of strengthening bilateral partnership in priority sectors, particularly as the two countries celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relations. He also emphasized that the partnership between Indonesia and Turkey has tremendous potential to bring significant benefits to their people. The priority sectors, he mentioned, include trade, defense, clean energy, health, and infrastructure. Ambassador Rizal also reflected on the past 75 years, noting that the partnership between the two nations has steadily grown through cooperation in various fields and mutual solidarity during global challenge. This includes providing support during natural disasters such as the 2004 tsunami in Aceh and the 2023 earthquake in Turkey. He underlined that Indonesia-Turkey relations are built on mutual respect, shared aspiration, and a strong commitment to collaboration. He reminded everyone that the historical ties between Indonesia and Turkey date back to the Ottoman Empire, long before formal diplomatic relations were established in 1950. According to Ambassador Rizal, the 75th anniversary celebration served as a stepping stone towards the 100th anniversary of diplomatic ties in 2050. The event also featured the launch of the official logo and slogan for the 75th anniversary celebration. Designed by an Indonesian student in Turkey, the logo symbolizes the close connection between the two nations, despite being geographically distant. The tagline for the celebration, Partnership for the People for the New World, underscored the vision of Indonesia-Turkey relations. It emphasized that this partnership should not only benefit the people of both countries, but also contribute to building a fairer and more prosperous world.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. Let's start with an important event from January 9, 1951, when the United Nations headquarters officially opened in New York. The United Nations headquarters in New York has an important role as the center of international activities. It's where significant meetings and sessions take place, such as the UN General Assembly, the Security Council, and the Economic and Social Council. Before moving to New York, the UN headquarters was originally located in London, established in 1945. On October 24, 1949, the decision was made to relocate it to New York, and by 1951, it was officially opened.
Next, we are moving on to the election of Mahmoud Abbas as the president of Palestine. On January 9, 2005, Mahmoud Abbas was elected as the president of the Palestinian National Authority. He succeeded Yasser Arafat, who passed away in 2004. Abbas served as president until January 15, 2009. His term was later extended without an official election in 2010, leading to debates about the legitimacy of his leadership. Now we are heading toward the end of today in history, with the tragedy of Sriwijaya Air Flight SJ-182. Sriwijaya Air Flight SJ-182 was a domestic passenger flight in Indonesia traveling from Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Banten to Supadio International Airport in Pontianak, West Kalimantan. On January 9, 2021, the plane tragically crashed into the waters of the Thousand Islands just 4 minutes after takeoff. Sadly, all 62 passengers and crew on board lost their lives. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Jatuh hati padamu sepenuh hati, hidup pun akan ku beri, apapun kan ku lakui. Tapi tak pernah ku bermimpi kau tinggalkan aku pergi. Tanpa tahu rasa ini, aku membenci. Tiba-tiba kamu datang saat kau telah dengannya. Semakin hancur hatiku. Jangan datang lagi cinta, bagaimana aku bisa lupa. Padahal kau tahu keadaannya, kau bukanlah untukku. Jangan lagi rindu cinta, ku tak mau ada yang terluka. Bahagiakan dia, aku tak apa. Biar aku yang pura-pura lupa. Oh,
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Minister Hanif Faisal says carbon trading aims to achieve emission reduction target. Indonesian Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal Nurofik stated that carbon trading carried out by Indonesia aims to achieve the target of reducing greenhouse gas emissions as stated in the Nationally Determined Contribution or NDC document. He said that Indonesia continues to increase carbon trading effort, one of which is by developing a more optimal national registration system or SRN, in addition to communicating with the Indonesia Stock Exchange regarding the Indonesian Carbon Exchange, BEKI. The existence of the Carbon Economic Value, NEK, is part of an effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which are targeted to be reduced by 31.89% with its own efforts and by 43.2% with international support by 2030, according to the enhanced NDC document, and to achieve a net zero carbon emission condition by 2060. Therefore, according to Minister Hanif, Indonesia will immediately build a climate for implementing a carbon economy through carbon trading, performance-based payments and carbon levies as mandated by Presidential Regulation No. 98 of 2021. In addition to optimizing the effectiveness of the national registration system, the Indonesian government will also soon form a methodology, a credible emission reduction certification, and the completion of the roadmap for sectors included in the NDC, as well as measurement, reporting, and verification. Moreover, Minister Hanif added that in the near future, Indonesia will immediately submit the second NDC document or the second NDC Indonesia to the Secretariat of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. According to him, the submission is planned no later than February 2025. Minister Hanif also encouraged all parties to agree on the figure for reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the second NDC. According to Minister Hanif, the target will be a reference for reducing greenhouse gas emissions from 2031 to 2035. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kini waktu telah rasa berbeda tanpa hadirmu. Keras hati yang dulu bicara berujung pilu. Andai angin menuang sebuah masa yang
still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, if you visit Manura Island in East Java, bubur manggul or manggul porridge is one of the traditional dishes you should try. The porridge differs from other porridges because of its savory and spicy flavor. Legend says that the name bubur manggul comes from the sailors' way of carrying their porridge on their shoulders or manggul to sell it. Bubur manggul is made primarily from rice flour mixed with coconut milk, bay leaves, and salt. Sometimes other spices are added such as shallot, garlic, red chili, turmeric, ginger, fen ginger, coriander, candle nuts, and kaffir lime leaves. The porridge is then served with grated coconut and spicy fried shrimp sambal. It's also common to add basil leaves to the dish. Bubur manggul has a rich, savory taste and spicy kick. Its savory flavor comes from the grated coconut, while the spiciness comes from the fried shrimp sambal. You can find bubur manggul around traditional markets or small stalls in Madura, where it's usually sold in the morning as a breakfast. A bubur manggul typically costs 10,000 to 15,000 rupiah, or about 60 to 90 US cents. Well, listener, that's the News and Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miss Melanie.
Well, listeners, today's commentary comes to greet you with the title Gamma Melon Perfume. Listeners, Professor Budis Tiari Daryono, a researcher and the dean of the Faculty of Biology at Gajah Mada University, has developed local melon to be used as a cosmetic ingredient. This innovation aims to reduce dependency on imported cosmetic products. Using modern biotechnology, Professor Budi created a new cultivar by crossbreeding two parent strains, NO3 and MR Vine. The result is a small melon with a bitter taste but a strong and distinctive aroma. This unique aroma is extracted and processed into a product called Gamma Melon Perfume. Listeners, Gamma Melon Perfume has unique genetic traits. It contains cucurbitacin and various secondary metabolites with great potential for the cosmetic industry. This plant can produce 4 to 10 fruit weighing between 50 grams and 400 grams. Its harvest period is relatively short, averaging 55 to 58 days. This innovation not only boosts local cosmetic production but also promotes environmentally friendly products. Listeners, currently Gamma Melon Perfume has led to the creations of two products, shampoo and soap. The Gamma Melon Perfume shampoo has been commercialized through a collaboration with PT Gizi Indonesia and PT Nudira Sumber Daya Indonesia. The extract is used in Nahla shampoo, part of the innovative product research RISPRO program by ALPDP. Between 2018 and 2021, this commercial initiative focused on developing bioactive compounds like flavonoids, terpenoids, and saponins. Moreover, research is ongoing to explore Gamma Melon Perfume as a potential anti-cancer treatment. For his groundbreaking research, Professor Budi received the Gold Academic Leader 2024 Award in Science from the Directorate General of Higher Education, Research and Technology this past December. That was Miscellany. Thank you.
Karena dunia belum henti berputar melingkar searah. Dari gembung sejuta sentuhan, pahit mengaju pengkap. Seribu satu perasaan bergabung setangkup senada. Berkeliaran karena bahaya sana sini, pada rumput lembut hijau itu pun tiada terhama. Roda-roda terus berputar karena masih ada hidup. Perasaan bergabung setangguh senada.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, we will play a song by Rosa entitled Nada Nada Cinta or The Love Tones. Nada Nada Cinta was released on 27th January 1996 and is an album that successfully introduced Rosa to the Indonesian entertainment industry. Her first single has the same title, Nada Nada Cinta. The song was created by Yongki Suwarno and Mariati. Nada Nada Cinta is about a strong feeling of falling in love, especially after receiving an expression of love from someone you like. The song is about gratitude for the presence of her partner, as well as the hope that their love will last forever. In 2024, Rosa re-released Nada Nada Cinta in collaboration with Ariel Noah for the documentary All Access to Rosa 25 Shining Years. In the latest version by Rosa and Ariel, Nada Nada Cinta has a more modern and fresh touch. Listener, here is Nada Nada Cinta by Rosa. Enjoy listening.
Getar hati saat engkau ungkapkan segala yang terpendam dan kau bisikan nada cinta semakin indah dunia.
of Indonesia. Indonesia.
listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Voice of Indonesia の日本語プログラムです。このプログラムはインドネシアのニュース、情報、音楽をお送りします。引き続き周波数 3325kHz やウェブサイト www.voinews.id から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。インドネシアより世界をお届けしているボイスオブ電車です。